This work on intercomponent communication mapping in Android is joint work with my advisor, Patrick McDaniel, as well as Somesh Jha from the University of Wisconsin, Eric Boden from the Technical University of Darmstadt, and Alexandre Bartel, Jacques Klein, and Yves Le Traon from the University of Luxembourg. So there are many, many, many applications out there. It was recently announced that the official Play Store has more than 1 million applications and that it has served more than 50 billion downloads. And that's only one application market. There are more markets out there. The thing is that these applications can actually communicate with each other once they're on the phone. And so, of course, you know, the question is, are any of these inter-application communications problematic? Are they malicious? And so Android applications are programmed using components. So there are four kinds of components. For example, an activity is a component that is in charge of rendering a user screen, basically. And these components can communicate with each other. They can communicate with each other both within a single application and also between different applications. And they use some platform-specific primitives to communicate with each other. And so, as I was saying, these mechanisms for communication are the same, basically, whether you're communicating between applications or within applications. So there are a number of intercomponent communication objects that are of interest. The two that we are going to talk about today are intents and intent filters, and they represent the majority of intercomponent communication in Android. Basically, what is an intent? An intent is simply an object that gets sent from one component to another. The destination of an intent can be specified in two ways, either explicitly by specifying, you know, just a class name, the name of the class that is supposed to receive the intent, or implicitly by specifying some attributes such as an action or categories. Components can receive implicit intents by subscribing to them. And the way they subscribe to them is by defining what we call intent filters. And these intent filters basically specify actions, categories, and data fields. And so basically you have exit points where intents are being sent, and then you have entry points that receive these intents. And for example, here component A is the exit point, and component B is the entry point. The matching of an exit point with an entry point in the case of implicit intents is done by the operating system. Something that should be noted is that components can actually be protected by permissions. For example, here, the entry point in component B can be protected by a permission. If it is, then in order to be able to communicate with component B, the application in which component A is defined has to have that permission. So as you can imagine, there are a number of security risks that are associated with this communication model. One of them is the risk of capability leaks. So in Android, sensitive operations such as accessing your GPS location data, for example, or sending a text message, these are all protected by permissions. And the way it works in Android is that an application requests permissions that it needs at install time, and then these are enforced at runtime. Note that the request for a permission is only done at install time. Once this permission is granted, the user is never prompted again for that particular permission for that particular application. And as you can imagine, if you have a component that has an entry point that is not protected and it happens to be a privileged component, then this component might leak capabilities. For example, let's take this component that has the permission to send a text message. Let's say that the programmer made it such that you can specify, there's an interface to this component such that you can specify the phone number to which it's going to send a text message. Of course, if this component is not protected by a permission, then you can have a malicious component that is just going to say, okay, send a text message to this premium number. and that's going to cost a lot of money to the programmer, I mean to the user. And so one first goal is to determine what these exposed components are, but that's only part of the solution. If you only look at what, if you only look for the exposed components, you only have part of the solution. You have potential vulnerabilities. What's interesting is, you know, finding actual components that can exploit these vulnerabilities, doing the matching of the exit points with the entry points. Another risk is the risk of information theft. So I talked about these implicit intents that are being sent out there, and so basically these intents don't have an explicit destination. These intents may hold some data. And so the risk here is that an intent is going to get sent, and you know the programmer expects a certain component to get that data. For example, the GPS location data can be sent out there, and the programmer expects a normal component which renders a map to receive it, but in fact it gets received by a malicious component. And now, once again, something, a first step is to determine which exit points send these implicit intents. But that's only part of the answer. Of course, you want to be able to determine which components might actually receive these intents. And finally, there's a risk where, so by the way, this is by no means an exhaustive list of ICC vulnerabilities. These are just some main examples. So here in this case, for example, you have two applications. Application A has access to your GPS location data. Application B has access to the network. It can send data to the network, potentially to an untrusted server. The programmer, the user can install both these applications, but you know he or she doesn't expect anything bad to happen because individually these applications, you know, don't really seem to have any combination of permissions that is cause for concern. One just has access to your location data, the other one just has access to the network. But the thing is that these two applications can actually communicate with each other. And potentially, your location data can get leaked to the network through applications A and B, through the collusion of application A and B. And of course, here you really need to determine how applications can interact with each other. You really need to connect exit points with entry points. And so that's why our goal here is to determine the precise specifications of inter-component communication objects. And specifically here, we are talking about intents and intent filters. So we have a number of goals. The first goal is to get all these specifications. We don't want to miss any one of them. Otherwise, you know, some malicious application might try to, you know, to just use the fact that we don't detect all of them. And while we are going to be conservative, we don't want to have too many false positives. Otherwise, the system would just not be very useful. And so what we do is that we build a model of intercomponent communication, and we reduce this problem, the problem of ICC, to an instance of an interprocedural distributive environment problem. And by doing so, we perform an analysis that is interprocedural, context-sensitive, and flow-sensitive. Also, efficiency is important because we want this to scale to, for example, all the applications of a phone, or even, why not, all the applications of a market. So in a nutshell, the IDE framework is a general purpose framework for data flow analysis. So you have a set of symbols, which are basically your variables. You have values, and environments map symbols to values. Then you have environment transformers, which represent the influence of a statement on the values that you're interested in. So basically, it takes an environment, it transforms it to a new environment. Something interesting for IDE is that these environment transformers are required to be distributive. Now, I'm just going to show you how the model works by taking an example with a bundle. So a bundle is a simple object that is used in ICC in Android, and it is just a key value store. So it just stores data in the form of key value pairs. And every intent has a bundle associated with it. And so this method just does a certain number of pretty straightforward things, just creates a bundle, adds some data in the form of a key and a value, and then it puts all the data from another bundle, B, into the newly created bundle. Finally, it just removes a key-value pair by just specifying the key associated with it. So here we want to determine the values of the bundle at every program point, just for the example. And so here you can you may have guessed that there is a difficulty here, which is that the bundle B, the bundle that is referenced in the third statement, is actually not known. So you want to put all the values of bundle B inside the new bundle, but you don't know the value of bundle B. And these two bundles are getting resolved at the same time. So in order to cope with that, we do a two-step analysis. In the first step, we use placeholders for these values that are not resolved yet. And so, as I said, in the first step, we determine what we call intermediate bundle values. And so this is an example of an intermediate bundle value. Each of these tuples inside this set represents what happens on a single branch. There are other cases where you would have more than one tuple, but for more information, you can look at the paper. In each of these tuples, for example, E1 or 1, E1 just represents a set of keys. And the reason why we just want the keys, we don't really care that much about the values, is that, for example, if we want to do some taint analysis, we just need to know that a particular piece of information just flows to a particular key value pair. And then this value is later retrieved by its key. So in order to do the connection between one component and another component and to figure out that the data is used in both, we just need the key, we don't need the value. And then O1 is just a set of placeholders. So if we look at the control flow graph for this particular method, so I'm just going to present the values at each step, or the intermediate bundle values at each step. The environment transformers are pretty complex, but they are fully explained in the paper. So when you create a bundle, as you would expect, the value associated with the bundle variable is empty. Then you put a key value pair. As I said, you only record the key. After that, as I said, you don't know the value of B yet. So the best thing you can do here is just record a reference to B as well as the statement that you're interested in. And so that's what we do. That's why we have this this placeholder here. And then something interesting with the remove statement is that you don't really know what the influence of the remove statement is going to be at this point, because you don't know what the value of the bundle is going to be because of the reference to B. So the only thing you can do here is just record this statement, the remove statement. So in the second step of the analysis, we try to figure out what the bundle values are. And so a bundle value is just a set of these sets here, E1, E2, etc. And so each of these sets, as before, represents what happens on a single branch. And in the second step, we integrate the referenced values into these final values. So for example, in the example before, let's assume that we resolved that B has a single value, a single key, which is called surname. So we take this big intermediate bundle values, and the first thing we do is integrate the value of B into the bundle value. So that's why we get first name, surname. Then we look at the next statement, and the next statement removes the value surname. So that's exactly what we do. We remove the value surname. And that's why we get a correct value for the bundle. So we have similar models for other ICC objects. So for example, the component name also has a similar model. The component name is just a pair of a package name and a class name. We have similar models for intents and intent filters. I'm not going to present them here because they are actually very complex. They have more fields, but the ideas are actually exactly the same. And so here, if we look at this example that I presented just a bit earlier, with this, in the case of this explicit intent here, at the end of the analysis, we know that you know the value is associated. I mean, the value of the intent has you know this particular class name and this particular package name. And something interesting now is that these ICC specifications can be used to incrementally build a map of ICC. And so every time you analyze a new application, you can put these intents and intent filter values in a database somewhere, and you can use the values that you already have in the database to do some matching. And you, incrementally like this, you can have a giant map of ICC in Android. It can be at the level of a phone or at the level of a market, for example. We implemented these ideas. The tool that we are releasing is called EPIC. It stands for Effective and Precise ICC. It consumes Android bytecode. It consumes Java bytecode. So in order to retarget Android bytecode to Java bytecode, we use their retargeting tool. The tool itself is built on top of the Suit analysis framework, as well as the Heroes IDE solver. Something interesting that is worth noting is that we only look for string constants. As you imagine from what I presented earlier, we need to look at string values. And so for these string arguments, we only look for string constants. We realize that in a very large majority of cases, programmers just use string constants. But of course, our analysis can fail on simple things like string concatenation. There is a simple fix for it, which is just handling things like you know string concatenation. The string analysis itself can be changed easily. We evaluated the tool on 1,200 applications. 850 were the most popular at the time of the analysis, and 350 were randomly selected. And so we got some interesting results for entry points and exit points. So first, calculated that we know all attributes of intent specifications or of intent objects or intent filter objects in about 93% of cases. And so the remaining cases are you know cases where we just don't know the values of strings. As I said, there is a fix for this, which is just to replace the string analysis by something that handles more things like string concatenation and so on. We found over 56,000 exit points. Something interesting here is that 95% of them were found to have only a single intent specification. And so as I said before, we're being conservative in terms of figuring out all these intent values. So if we only find one, it means that that's actually the only one that's possible. 45% of them have data in the form of key value pairs. That's also an interesting fact. Finally, we found a bit less than 30,000 entry points. And once again here, we look at how many times you have a single intent filter specification. And here, in 90% of cases, in about 90% of cases, we only found a single intent filter specification. Over 8,500 of these components were exported, but they were not protected by a permission. And whenever a component is exported but not protected by a permission, it's available in all other applications. And here we found that only 5% of exported components were protected by permissions. So the rest were actually available to all applications. So the running time of the tool was actually very reasonable. On average, the analysis took less than 2 minutes. This was very variable between applications, but overall, it's less than 2 minutes. Finally, we did an evaluation of ICC vulnerabilities. So we looked for the same vulnerabilities as the Comdroid tool does. So ComDirect is another tool that looks for vulnerabilities as well. And so I want to insist on the fact that this is just a first application of what our tool can do, because it looks at exit points and entry points in isolation. It just looks for, you know, exposed entry points and exposed exit points. And so, you know, our goal is goes beyond that. Our goal is to match these exit points and these entry points. And so we found a bunch of vulnerabilities that is expected. But the interesting fact here is that we found fewer vulnerabilities than ComDroid. And that's interesting because we actually looked at some of these vulnerabilities that were found by ComDroid but not by us, and we found them to be false positives. And in a very large majority of cases, we found that this was because we use a more precise call graph construction, and you know, ComDroid just flags code locations in code that is not reachable. In other cases, there were different specifications that were found by both tools. So ComDroid finds or specifies a limited amount of information about intent specifications. For example, it can tell you if it has extra data in the form of key-value pairs. And there are some cases where both tools differ, but that's because ComDroid merges values from different branches when there are different branches, whereas we actually keep track of all of them. And so in some cases, the values that are found by ComDroid are not correct, whereas the ones that we find are correct. So our study has a number of limitations. Our tool has a number of limitations. As I said, one of them is the string analysis. So we get a success rate that's very variable between between applications. In some cases, we just don't have the string arguments. But that's because, as I said, we'll only look for string constants. So we can fix that by just replacing the string analysis. And so, by the way, when we don't find a string, the analysis doesn't fail. We just assume that the value can be any string. The application lifecycle and the entry points handling right now is basic. It may not account for all the possible flows of execution. However, there is some parallel effort among my co-authors to build something that is more sound and precise. And so this will get integrated into EPIC very soon. Finally, reflection and JNI are standard limitations in static analysis for Java, and we don't have a solution for that at the moment for Android. So in conclusion, I have presented a formal ICC model that can be used to effectively connect components with each other. We have good results. The implementation shows good results. So now the thing that we need to do is to follow up with inter-component communication analysis, as well as build a large-scale map of inter-component communication. Before I take question, I just wanted to mention that the tool that we developed, a version of it is available online at this address here, and so you can try it out and give us feedback. And with that, I will take questions. Thank you.
Sorry. So actually, let me ask you the first question. It seems you are very focused on intent as the communication channel.
Yes.
And in fact, there are some other communication channels, like you can do navigation or some other ways to
we
pass data to
we
you.
Don't handle that. There's also URIs that can be used to access content providers.
Yes.
We don't handle that yet,
okay.
But the methods that we introduce are actually extensible to these, and we're actually extending it to URIs.
Okay.
So you can expect it to be integrated into the tool as well.
Yeah, great.
Simon O from Kansas State University. Could you talk about how you handle object aliases in a context and flow sensitive way?
We handle what, sorry?
Object aliases. Alias analysis.
What, sorry?
Alias. So, alias analysis. Pointers,
so we use the alias analysis that is integrated into Suit. So that's one of the cases where actually you may have, in the talk at some point I said you have all these values in the set, they represent cases where you have different values on different branches, where another case where you may have more than one value here, more than one tuple, is the case where the alias analysis says that a value may point to another value. And so in this case, we conservatively assume that on, you know, in one case, it may actually, there might actually be a like an alias case, it may actually be an alias, and in another case, there might actually not be an alias as well. So we have these two values that come up as well.
So just curious, the Suit alias analysis, is that context and flow sensitive or not?
So the alias analysis is flow sensitive, but context insensitive.
Okay, thank you.
Hi, Fabio Massaccio, University of Trento. So I missed something from your final experimental results. So can you actually check that you can exercise the ungranted permission from A into B by using these things, or you can just check that the intent can match?
So you know which permissions are is protecting a particular component. You also know which permissions are requested by an application that a component is a part of. So you can use that as part of your matching.
No, but you have no guarantee that by just accessing that intent, you can actually then later on invoke that permission. So you don't have a trace of information flow between one execution in one step and the execution in the other. You just know this application can talk to, application A can talk to application B, but you have no proof, at least for as what I understood, that application A can then use application B as a confusing.
Oh, DPD. Yeah, no, so
you have no proof of this yet.
We don't do that analysis. There are other analyses that do such a thing to look for these capability leaks. We don't do that part of the analysis.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
Let's thank the speaker.